Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I used to go to Las Vegas fairly regularly. Actually lived there for a few months. But when I, it's interesting, when I lived there, I never gambled. But before I lived there, when I would fly there for a long weekend or whatever the case may be, there were two things that I like to do in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I like to bet on sports games because legally you could do that. And I love to play blackjack. And what's interesting now is I don't live very far from Harrah's here in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lived in New Orleans now for almost 11 years. I've only played blackjack at Harrah's twice. One of them was when my sister was in town, and another one was when a cousin was in town. It's strange. I guess the thrill for me was getting on the plane, flying there, and,
right,
and doing it.
And it's Las Vegas. I mean, my experience with that, I mean, I never went to Las Vegas until I was married for the second time, put it that way.
Wow.
I had never been. And then we went every year, and it became like a regular thing. We went, Mrs. Brewster does not refer to it as our honeymoon, but it was the week after we got married, so I don't know what else she would call that. I guess apparently she's waiting for another honeymoon.
Nah.
And then we went the next, I guess, 2 years in a row because our trivia, you know, we play trivia every week, and the national trivia finals were held there in Las Vegas 2 years in a row. So, but here's my thing about table games, and I play penny slots. That's pretty much it. To me, to play table games, whether it be roulette or it be blackjack or whatever, I would have to see myself, number one, with a white tux, like Bond, James Bond. And of course, he wouldn't play something. He played Baccarat or something like that. I think that was his game. So I you know, one day maybe I will try it. I just sort of, It's the weirdest thing, and that's whether it's a Mississippi Coast casino or over here at Harrah's or the Las Vegas or wherever it might be. I walk by the table games, and I try not to make eye contact with the dealer because sometimes they're just standing there during off times, and it's just I don't feel like that guy. One day I will be that guy who plays card games.
Well, when I was flying out to Vegas every year playing a lot of blackjack, one question that I was always asked the dealers is, you know, who's a person that we know that who's the biggest bleep hole that you ever dealt blackjack to?
You mean someone who's known?
Yeah.
Because are they allowed to say things
absolutely
like that?
They are.
There's no like HIPAA laws as far as
no,
dealers go.
They could tell you their stories. And, you know, some would say, you know, names. But there were two names that came up more than once.
Alec Baldwin.
No.
No.
Tiger Woods. Because
I could see that.
He was so rich, and he would gamble huge amounts of money, and he would never, ever tip.
See,
never,
just,
ever tip the dealer. And
wrong.
I'd always tip the dealer if I hit a blackjack or if I was having some good luck. And I wouldn't play for nearly the amount of money Tiger Woods would play for.
Right.
His name would come up.
Let me guess the other one. Michael Jordan.
No.
And the reason why I say that is because and it's not because he's black, if you're going to go there, loaded with money. And the rumors still are, I wouldn't say rampant, but the rumors that his little hiatus from the first one from basketball when he went to play minor league baseball with the Birmingham Barons were that he was suspended and they kept it quiet.
Yeah, that's the story. And I think that proved to be not true because the NBA is suspending Michael Jordan. It's just an insane idea.
Well, but be that as it may, I mean, in the court of public opinion, there are people who believe that.
But the other name that would come up, and it came up more than once, former baseball player Lenny Dykstra. And there was one
Nails.
Dealer. There was one dealer that said this guy would come out. There would be literally come out of the bathroom. There'd be Coke, coming out of his nose. He'd have hookers on each arm.
Right.
He'd be swearing at people, not tipping. He would be slamming shots and drinks. And the reason I brought this up, Lenny Dykstra was on the 86 New York Mets.
Mm-hmm. See, I saw him play multiple times in Cincinnati in 88, 89. He was with the Phillies by then.
And
his nickname was Nails because
he's a center fielder, tough player.
Tough player in the vein of like a Pete Rose.
But the guy as a human being is a scumbag, and he's just not a good person. And his name, and he's been in and out of jail several times.
Well, he's been broke and made it back.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a good guy.
He was. I saw him, this is years ago. This had to be more than 10 years ago. On an episode, I think it was his name escapes me, on Bernard Goldberg on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, or maybe it was Gumbel, profiling Lenny Dykstra. And at that time, Lenny Dykstra was printing his own money in this mansion in Florida because he had some sort of a real estate secret, and money was coming in hand over fist. And he said to either Bernard Goldberg or Bryant Gumbel or whoever, "You got to come see my car." I think it was Bernard Goldberg. And he's like, what is that? It's like a $450,000 Maybach.
Well, that was a good year Lenny Dykstra obviously was having, and he was probably doing it illegally.
Probably.
But the reason I brought his name up this morning, he's in the news again. He's living in northern New Jersey in a town called Linden.
You call that living?
And his neighbors are not happy. They said that street has gone to hell ever since he moved in. He said that they're all hours of the night, there's people coming and going, the loud noises, the music. They said there's been two people who have died in that house from drug overdoses. Mm. And they took pictures of it, and there's garbage all over the front of it. And Lenny Dykstra, when he was called by the local news, the New York Post, to comment on what his neighbors are saying about him, he said, "Oh, they're jealous. It's the best house in the block." He said, "I turned this real estate into the best house on the block. I took an ugly bitch and I made her into a beautiful rock star." That's what he said about the house last week.
Sounds like Patriots fans. They hate us because they ain't us.
And he said, maybe the other houses are jealous that I have the best house now. And they asked him about the overdoses. And he said, "There might have been people working on my house. I wasn't home when they died." I mean, in his house. And then they asked him about the picture with all the garbage out in front of it. And he said that was trash day. They pick up once a month the big stuff like that. I mean, so he had a funny answer
right. For
everything that they said. But, you know, be careful. There goes the neighborhood if Lenny Dykstra, former, star for the New York Mets, center fielder, World Series guy, if he moves into your neighborhood. And that's something. Here, I'll buy you 95.7. Buy you 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Something very strange happened last week at the Orleans Parish Prison, although it's not called the Orleans Parish Prison anymore. It's the new and improved Orleans Hall of Justice.
I call it OPP squared.
That's what it should be. It's the new OPP. But they call it something else. I mean, it's a beautiful new building. From what I understand, it has some of the same issues as the old building, including rape. You lock a bunch of guys in cages like that. And,
right. Whew. Well, it is prison.
Well, it doesn't mean they're gay.
Well, it just means they have a lot of time on their hands.
Well,
it's like the electric company. Remember the electric company? Prison, rape, prison rape.
Yeah. I learned a lot. I was watching that television show as a youth. But something more bizarre than that happened last week here at the all-new and improved Orleans Parish Prison. A guy who was wanted for a murder last September walked in there with his lawyer to turn himself in. They wouldn't take him at first because he didn't bring proper identification. And this became a bit of a scene over there. The guy's name, he's 25 years old, Frank Sams Jr. He hoped to start the process of fighting a murder charge that's on him from a botched armed robbery at a gas station last September here in the city of New Orleans. So he grabbed the lawyer, her name, Kelly Oriens, and they went in last week, and the lawyer said, hey, here's Frank Sams Jr. You're looking for him for a murder last September. And someone sitting at the desk at the Orleans Parish Prison said, let me see some ID. Well, he doesn't have any ID. 25 years old, and you want him for murder? Here he is.
Want him or not?
Brewster, they told him no at first. They told the lawyer and him, they said, look, we need... And you know how people call it voter suppression when you need to bring one valid form of photo identification with you to go vote at the polls? This is murderer suppression. This is inmate suppression. You're telling me that I got to bring one valid form of photo ID to check into the Orleans Parish Prison if I've got a murder warrant hanging over my head from last September? Well, that was the case. The lawyer said that deputies crowded around trying to keep him out because he didn't have one valid form of photo ID. So she's standing there, the lawyer, saying that no one would turn themselves in on someone else's murder charge. Maybe that might happen every once in a while, but it's few and far between. We've seen cases like that. And obviously, this is a serious story. And the lawyer, Kelly Oriens, said, look, this is all very serious to us. And yet we walked into an agency tasked with protecting our community, and it was like it was a joke. This took almost an hour, and the logjam finally ended only after the lawyer, Kelly Oriens, produced a copy of a news article featuring Frank Sams Jr.'s picture and noting that he was wanted. And as soon as the cop at the New Orleans police station saw the photocopy of the newspaper article with the guy's picture on it, he said, oh, yeah, there he is right there. Grab him. And then they grabbed Frank Sams Jr. and they cuffed him and they hurried him back. That is bizarre. Now he's being held on $500,000 bail. They've charged him with second degree murder. There was upwards of an hour where he could have walked out at any time. But I guess if you're, you know, some people, you know, if you've lived your life just looking over your shoulder running for a long time, I guess that some people they can deal with that. This guy probably just said, "Look, let me get this over with." Now, police allege that him and another guy, Farnell Jackson Jr., who was a baby and looks at it and says he looks like a Farnell. Anyway, but this guy, not only this guy's mother, but this guy's father's mother, because he's Farnell Jackson Jr.
I've known of a Darnell, but not Farnell.
No, this is Farnell.
Darnell Hillman, the great basketball player from the old ABA, the old American Basketball Association.
I don't know if Farnell Jackson Jr., I don't know what his game looks like, Brewster. I don't know what his hoop game looks like, but him and this Sam's character were caught on video robbing the Fuel Express Mart on Hayne Boulevard on September 18th. And sadly, the clerk of that store, 58-year-old Ola Besid, was shot and killed. Now, the other guy, Farnell, he turned himself into police right after this happened because they were on video. And Farnell, in September, turned himself in. I don't know if he had proper ID or if they made him go through the whole show that this poor guy went through, I shouldn't say poor guy, but this SOB went through last week.
Poor bastard.
You know, that's interesting. There are places in our country, there are drugstores like CVS and Walgreens where you need a valid form of ID to buy certain things in there, whether it's cough medicine. I've even heard in some places, I don't know if it's Louisiana, but I think if you go into a store in the state of Illinois and you try to buy more than one thing of Drano or something like that, they card you. You need ID.
Well, I'm not sure about Drano, but because of the proliferation of the mishmash of chemicals that go into making methamphetamine, you can't go, like, you, if you want, okay, there's Mucinex that's over the counter that you can buy just like anyone. But there's Mucinex that it's not prescription. It's not a prescription, but you have to show a driver's license. It's Mucinex D, and I get it at Costco because it's. I suffer from sinus congestion like all the time, and if I sound great on the air, it's because I have my Mucinex D.
And they card you when you buy that?
Yes, because they scan your driver's license. You can only buy. The 12-hour Mucinex D, you can only buy one box every 2 weeks. My hand to God, because that is, it's got guaifenesin and some other stuff, and it's one of the things that you can make purple drink out of, or you can make crystal meth.
So you need to buy...
And Drano, I guess, can be used for it, too.
You need to show a valid form of photo ID to buy some Mucinex, the extra Mucinex. Yet there's about half the country, I don't even know if it's half, but and they're all Democrats. They think they call it voter suppression if a black person has to bring one valid form of ID to vote. To vote! And then you ask, well, why is it voter suppression? Well, do you know how difficult it is for some black people to get one valid form of photo ID? You know how racist that is? But they'll tell you that. They'll say, well, it's very difficult for some black people to get one valid form of photo ID in this country. We're talking about voting here.
Hey, look, I just want to breathe through my nose, okay?
And the way I look at it, if a human being, I don't care what color they are, if an American citizen cannot, for whatever reason, come up with one valid form of photo ID, maybe they shouldn't be voting.
Well, you know what I think about that. We've talked about this historically on this show. I'm all for the purple ink like they use in Middle Eastern countries. Where you go vote and they stick your thumb down in. I mean, there's no question. You don't get to vote more than once because they check your thumb.
And if you do, they'll cut your thumb
off.
They'll
cut it off.
Yes. So anyways, I'm glad this all worked out last week over at the all-new and improved Orleans Parish Prison, the New Orleans Justice Center, the Hall of Justice. But I want to know who the cops were that were sitting at the front desk when a lawyer brings in a murder suspect who's been named and they're looking for him. He walks in, and because he doesn't have one valid form of photo ID, it took almost an hour. He could have walked out at any time, and they had to bring a photocopy of a newspaper article saying the cops are looking for him. Jesus.
O'Shaughnessy was at the desk that night, I'm being told.
Boy, oh boy. All right. Coming up on the show, the state of Virginia is still in a state of flux. The three top lawmakers there, two of them who wore blackface in the 80s, and another one who now has two rape allegations against them, are still the top three politicians in the state of Virginia, and they're telling people, hell no, they're not going anywhere. This is something else. And how that is still happening, especially when so many people are so damn politically correct. We'll give you the latest coming up on that. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So it became official on Saturday, 2 days ago, in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren officially threw her headdress into the ring for President of the United States of America.
I thought I saw smoke.
She is delusional. How she thinks that she could still have a chance at winning this when now it's obvious that she ran around for much of her life telling anyone who would listen, and people at Harvard and University of Pennsylvania, that she's an American Indian. So during her announcement on Saturday, she said she's running for president and she addressed what she said is the biggest existential threat to domestic tranquility here in America, cowboys. And did you know that Senator Elizabeth Warren's Did you know that Senator Elizabeth Warren's father was a janitor? That's pretty cool that she became, you know, an American senator. And,
hey, there's nothing wrong with the
Of course not.
With the custodial arts.
But she's worth over $11 million now, and but she came from her father was a janitor. And you might remember him. His Indian name was Swinging Mop. So, anyway, I can't see that lasting very long.
I think Andrew is interested in pursuing a job in the custodial arts.
Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about...
if Andrew gets up, we'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.
About what's going on in the state of Virginia right now with the blackface and what a mess. And those guys said they're not going anywhere. Stay tuned on Bayou 95.7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So, it's another day in the state of Virginia where their top three politicos, their top three political people have national headlines on them, cameras on them. Their governor, Ralph Northam, he's the one who where the picture came up. From his medical school yearbook in 1984, two guys standing there, one in blackface, standing next to one dressed as a Ku Klux Klansman. When that came out a week and a half ago on a Thursday, he said, I apologize for that. And then the next day on Friday, he had another press conference, said, you know what? I'm taking back my apology because I don't think that was me in the blackface, and it was him. The state's attorney general, the number three man politically, his name is Mark Herring. And after Virginia Governor Ralph Northam on Thursday, a week ago Thursday, said, I'm sorry for that. Attorney General Mark Herring then said, well, look, you need to step down. You need to go away. And then the next day, Attorney General of Virginia Mark Herring had a press conference saying, you know what? I dressed up in blackface, too. The Politico in between those two guys, the lieutenant governor, Justin Fairfax, he's black. He said, I'm not wearing blackface, but two different women now have come forward saying that he raped them. And they have details, and you know, it wasn't like the Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court hearings, because there was no details there. Nobody knew. We don't even know if Brett Kavanaugh even met that woman, Christine Blasey Ford. But here, there are two women that have specific details. And now the lieutenant governor of Virginia is saying that, oh, yeah, I did sex. I banged both of them. I'm paraphrasing. But he said it was consensual. And the women are saying, no, it wasn't. So what do they do? And you know, there are people that are saying, was it that big of a deal to wear blackface in the 80s? There are, now look, Megyn Kelly lost a multi-gazillion dollar job a year at NBC News for a lot less. All she did was saying, well, hey, back in the 80s, blackface wasn't, you know, it wasn't that big of a thing. She lost everything because of that. Now, if she lost everything because of that, how these two guys in Virginia still have a job is incredible. And that's the other thing. You know, to the people that think, is it that big of a deal? And why is that racist? And why isn't, when black guys dress up as white guys, why is it that racist? Whether it's the Wayans brothers in the movie White Chicks or whether it's Eddie Murphy or whether it's other people. I think it's a little bit different on a couple of angles.
And not to beat it to death, but the Megyn Kelly thing, and I'm going to play the clip here in a second. She was not saying, "Hey, all right, blackface." She's just commenting on what the attitude was at a particular time in this country.
What is racist? Because so truly, you do get in trouble if you are a white person who puts on blackface for Halloween, or a black person who puts on whiteface for Halloween. Like, when I was a kid, that was okay as long as you were dressing up as like a character.
If somebody feels like something is offensive to them, then you should say it, and that's fair game.
Yeah,
and you should be able to take it if you're going to dress up like that.
Yeah, you got to be able to take it.
Yeah.
Now, that cost Megyn Kelly her job, although she did get the full $60 million in her contract. It looked like for a minute that might have cost her about half of it because she made it halfway through a three-year contract, and the three-year contract was for over $60 million. But she ended up getting every nickel. She got $60 million. Now, think about that. She lost her job because she said, you know, when I was younger, as long as you were dressing up as a black famous black person, a character, then it wasn't that big of a deal.
Or a black person dressing up as a white character. Tell me in there again where she like came out in favor of blackface said that it was okay.
No, and she lost it all. So if she loses it all, and not, again, that's a private sector gig she had working at 30 Rock for NBC and the Today Show. If she lost everything. You got two guys, two of the top three lawmakers in Virginia who were wearing blackface in the 1980s, at least once that we know of, and I don't know if it was more than that. And then the guy in between them, the black guy who's now been accused of rape by two women. What a disaster in Virginia. And it's interesting. The governor, and the governor over the weekend yesterday, Northam, he was on one of the news shows, the Talking Head shows. He was on the CBS Sunday morning show. And he basically, and Gayle King, of all people, Oprah Winfrey's best friend, she was the one that was interviewing him. And, you know, he had to stick to a script, but he basically said, I'm going no place. They're going to have to recall me. They're going to have to force me out. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, when he used blackface, he was mimicking pop singer Michael Jackson. And what was interesting about that is that someone asked him on his second, 2 weeks ago, on his second press conference when he changed his story and said that he didn't remember doing that. And they said, but you said you dressed up like Michael Jackson. He goes, I can moonwalk. And somebody asked him to moonwalk. And he stepped back. It looked like he was going to moonwalk. And then his wife grabbed him and said, this is not appropriate. Could you imagine if he moonwalked? That's the only highlight you would have ever seen from now until ever when it came to him. And then the attorney general, the number three man politically in Virginia, Mark Herring, when he did blackface, he dressed as rapper Curtis Blow in the 80s. And remember, hey, that's when rap first became something. That's when we all learned about rap for the first time in the 80s. And, you know, and some people were saying, hey, these guys dress up like Michael Jackson and Curtis Blow. Is it imitation the biggest form of flattery? I guess not in that case. I've always heard, like, when you imitate someone, it means that you like them and you respect them. But boy, if there's shoe polish involved, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And again, the other thing that makes this an issue is that all of these guys are Democrats. And why that's a big deal is because the political correctness on that Democratic left side of the political aisle, the political correctness is crazy. I mean, you got stand-up comedians who won't even play college campuses anymore because the kids need their safe space to go run to when they're offended. Everything offends them. Everything offends them. So if everything offends Democrats, a lot of Democrats who voted for these guys, I'm surprised they are not picketing in the streets. I know there was some sort of little demonstration, but it hasn't been that big. And you would think that these people are dancing in the streets, or not dancing, but storming the streets. They're not moonwalking. That they're protesting in the streets to get these big politicos in Virginia to step aside because they wore blackface. I've seen a lot in my life politically, but I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen anything like this. And, you know, to the people that are on Facebook and on social media that are putting up, that are posting the memes that have the picture of the Wayans brothers as the white chicks from that movie, and the memes say, you know, if this isn't racist, and then they have a picture of Al Jolson, and it says, well, how is this racist? Look. The minstrel blackface was racist because of the huge lips that were painted on and things like that. Look, I don't know if dressing up like Michael Jackson or Curtis Blow, I don't know if that's the same thing, or maybe just a level lower of racist as the minstrel blackface. I don't know. But the fact that these guys are Democrats, and so many Democrats are offended by stinking everything, it's incredible that these guys still have a job. And we talked about it last week on the show. Perhaps you've seen Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon in blackface, because there were videos and pictures going around. We played the Kimmel one last week. He used a voice and everything. And, you know, he still has a job, too. So if they're, we'll see how this all plays out. But they're swearing they are not going anywhere. They're not resigning. They're going to have to be forced out. And we all know how difficult it is to recall someone. You need so many signatures. And who knows if that's what they're going to try to do in Virginia. But they're saying they're not going. So
I said, hell no, we won't go.
Stay tuned. All right, coming up on the show, there's a Louisiana grocery store who's making news this morning because they're facing backlash for something in one of their commercials. We'll tell you about it coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans.
We have breaking news. Henry Winkler, best known as TV's The Fonz, and some other projects as well. Actor, director, producer, beloved TV star, is not dead. Although, there is breaking news and a breaking news addendum. David Cassidy is still dead.
Yeah, if you were on social media over the last couple of days this past weekend, I saw it a couple of times. I saw at least two people post the story about Henry Winkler
right.
being dead, and the people wrote, oh, no, say it ain't so. You know, right. Oh, this is my heart is breaking. And in the time it took them to write, say it ain't so, to type in, oh, my heart is breaking, they could have went to Google and in right. about 7 seconds found out that it's not true. And those people are guilty of spreading fake news.
Well, unfortunately, they are. We've made the point before that you can, you know, if you're seeing something like that on one site and you put in Henry Winkler dead in Google and you still get just that one site and you don't get a reputable news source. And I know that ABC, CNN, Fox News, news wires, AP, Associated Press Wire. Try not to go with the websites like conservativetears.com, who yesterday, a friend of mine shared this, Henry Winkler dead at 77, a huge Trump supporter and lifelong gun lover.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And then they have this picture, Henry Winkler, the Fonz. Well, that wouldn't be in, that's 1933 to 2019. That would make him 86.
Yeah.
They've already gotten it wrong. So if you scroll all the way down, after you see various stories like, oh, I don't know. Let's see. Men, try this tonight and you'll never need Viagra again. And there's a very questionable picture about what body part is being shown there. Let's see. Celebrity no bra day caught on camera. This is, folks, it's clickbait. And if you scroll all the way down to a site, conservativetears.com, you see a giant S, satire rated, rated S for satire. They even say this, satire, noun, the use of humor, irony, exaggeration, or ridicule to expose and criticize people's stupidity or vices, particularly in the context of contemporary politics or other topical issues.
Yeah, when I saw, there were a couple of things. When I saw the pro-Trump, pro-gun, I've never heard Henry Winkler say anything pro-Trump or pro-gun in my life. And when I saw one, it said Henry Winkler, and then it said AKA Arthur Fonzarelli. You would not put that in someone's official death notice.
No.
He wasn't also known as Arthur Fonzarelli. That was a character he played on a TV show.
Right. And the headline, we'll read the headline again from conservativetears.com. Henry Winkler dead at 77, a huge Trump supporter and lifelong gun lover. In the headline, there's no mention of TV at all. It's just, come on. And now, and this is not to pick on anyone, but now I see breaking news from iloveanimals.co, that reputable news bastion.
That rag.
Breaking, former teen idol and star of TV hit David Cassidy, dead at 67.
Yeah, there's a...
And somebody said, what?
It happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's 2 years old.
You know, again, why would someone, like, want to post that? But even if they're going to post that out of the blue, it takes 5 seconds. It takes just as long to go Google that and figure it out if it's true or not than to spread that fake news.
Yes.
Coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment, Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7.
What?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
February 11th. It was today in 1990.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Nelson Mandela was released from prison. He was the leader of the movement to end South African apartheid. And he was released. He got out today after 27 years in prison. And that happened today in 1990. He was a lawyer, Nelson Mandela, as well.
No, that I did not know.
Mm. February 11th. It was today in 2012.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Pop superstar Whitney Houston died in a bathtub at a hotel in Beverly Hills, California. She was one of the world's top-selling singers in the mid-'80s to late 90s. That was the Beverly Hills, the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Beverly Hills. That's right across the street from the Beverly Hills Hotel, California, the Eagles album cover hotel.
Now, isn't that where Chris Farley died?
No, Chris Farley died in his hometown of Chicago.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah. But what's interesting...
Others have died at the Beverly Hilton, huh?
I think a couple of people checked in and never checked out there. But you know what's strange? Whitney Houston dies in a bathtub today in 2012, and only a couple of years later, a few years later, her young daughter died in a bathtub as well. I think that was in Georgia. But the daughter died the same way that her mother died. And, a horrible story, but sad stuff. Because I just remember when Whitney Houston first came out, she was something. And then, boy, you saw her at the end. It was like, yeah, you could blame Bobby Brown for a lot of that. Oh, we can. February 11th. I remember this because I remember where I was.
I've remembered all of these so far.
It was today in 1990.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
one of the biggest underdogs in sports history, James Buster Douglas, knocked out heavyweight champion of the world, Mike Tyson. And that happened in Tokyo, Japan. And as a matter of fact,
I thought it was ludicrous.
There was just a great ESPN 30 for 30 about James Buster Douglas. Like every other 30 for 30, it's fantastic. Even if you're not a sports fan, you would enjoy it because it transcends sports. I say that about every 30 for 30. You know, what else is interesting about that is this weekend they showed The Hangover and The Hangover Part 2 again on television a lot this weekend. And Mike Tyson, I got to see in that. He's very good. But that shocked the world. I was in a bar. I just started my radio career. I was in a bar called The Russian Lady, which still stands today in Hartford, Connecticut. And people are like, what? What? Tyson lost? What? Give me another round. I can't believe it. February 11th. It was today in 1972.
Why today doesn't suck.
David Bowie, for the very first time, performs his first gig as his Ziggy Stardust character. Yeah, he did that in a town in England, and that's probably...
Yeah, he did that in Tolworth in the UK.
Yeah. And that's probably what most people remember about David Bowie. You say, hey, David Bowie, what's the first thing you think of? You don't think Ziggy Stardust
would
be the top of people's?
No, I don't. I think of the very lean, tall, magenta suit colored David Bowie with the very orange hair, almost in a wedge style like Grace Jones. I think of that late 80s, maybe mid to late 80s David Bowie. I could be wrong.
Yeah, and the Ziggy Stardust character was very popular for him for a little bit, and then after some time, he said, that's it. I'm done with that. I'm moving on. As he always did in his career, he always moved on to something else.
Yes, he was the musical and fashion changeling. He
was a chameleon.
Absolutely. He just wanted to mix it up. It was on this date, February 11th. 1965.
Why today doesn't suck.
Ringo Starr married longtime girlfriend Maureen Cox at the Caxton Hall Register Office in London. That would be England. Manager Brian Epstein was the best man. Starr's bandmates in the Beatles were in attendance, with the exception of Paul McCartney, who said he was on vacation, but he was actually just smoking weed.
Peace and love.
Thank you.
Warning you with peace and love, but I have too much to do.
Nothing.
So no more fan mail. Thank you. And no objects to be signed. Nothing. Anyway, peace and love.
Knock it off.
That marriage lasted a decade. It lasted until 1975, and they have one son.
Zach,
who...
is also a drummer.
He drums with The Who now, and he tours with The Who.
And since then, Ringo has been married, I think, forever since then to Catherine Bach. To Barbara Bach. Barbara Bach.
And from what I hear, it's nothing but peace and love.
Peace and love.
Nothing. It was on this date, February 11th, 1992.
Why today doesn't suck.
Motley Crue fire singer Vince Neil claiming he didn't have a passion for the music. And when that happens, you know it's time for you to go. Neil claimed he was fired for taking a stand against the group's new musical direction. He later rejoined The Crew in 1997, 5 years later. It was on this date. I was not...
And they got a new album coming out.
The Crew?
Yeah, even though it looked like they were done last year, they're putting out a new album.
And that movie, the documentary, I believe it's called... Is it called The Dirt?
Yeah, that's the name of their book, which is fantastic.
Yes. Has local connections, too. There's some local people involved with the
making... They filmed a lot of it around here.
...of that movie. I was not a huge... Well, let's do this first. Also with a local connection, was on this date, February 11th in 1982.
Why today doesn't suck.
U2 kick off their fourth North American tour... aboard the SS President riverboat as it floated along the Mississippi right here in New Orleans. You have to use that uptown. I like to throw that in on occasion. Mostly I say New Orleans. 99.9% of the time I say New Orleans. On occasion, I will sound like an uptown lady and say New Orleans. It was on this date, February 11th, 1985.
Why today doesn't suck.
Sue me, I was not the biggest fan of this. The Firm, a band which featured Free and Bad Company singer Paul Rogers, along with Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page, released their self-titled debut album, recorded at Page's Soul Studios, and went on to be sold with certified gold in the U.S. I just didn't think that Paul Rogers and Jimmy Page made the best connection.
They had
just me.
They had one pretty big hit called Radioactive.
Yeah.
You didn't like that?
Nope.
Hey, Brewster, interesting. You brought up the Ringo Starr married his first wife today in 1965.
Peace and love. Oh, God. Peace and love. I'm warning you with peace and love, but I have too much to do.
Well, 1 year before that, to the day, today in 1964...
Counting money all day.
Why today doesn't suck.
The Beatles performed their first American concert ever.
Yes.
And it was in Washington, D.C.
Yes,
at a place called the Washington Coliseum. Also on that bill, Tommy Rowe, the Chiffons, and the Caravels. And isn't it something you would think that people like, I don't know, Tommy Rowe, the Chiffons, and the Caravels, because they got to open for the Beatles on their first show.
Right.
You'd think they would have been able to parlay that into great careers. And have you ever heard of Tommy Rowe?
Sure. Tommy Rowe, yeah. I believe he can... No, he's still alive. I'm thinking of somebody else. Who am I thinking of? Tommy Rowe was 76. Tommy Rowe had... the song Sheila, also... Dizzy, my head is spinning. You got me so dizzy. You heard that song.
Maybe, but I didn't know. I don't
Tommy
recognize
Rowe.
The name or
right.
The Chiffons or Caravels.
You know the Chiffons. The Chiffons, that's not my sweet lord.
Well, maybe they did.
Or He's So Fine.
Parlay opening for the Beatles'
one
first
fine
show
day.
Ever.
One fine day, and He's So Fine. He's so fine, sha-la-la-la.
That's the Chiffons?
That's the Chiffons.
All right, okay, so they did.
So you just don't know him by name.
They did parlay that into some sort of a career.
But they've done that well, despite the fact that you don't know who they are.
Got a couple of celebrity birthdays. Happy birthday, one-time backup singer for Don Henley and Michael Jackson, Sheryl Crow. She turned being a backup singer for Don Henley and Michael Jackson into a nice career, didn't she? I like Sheryl.
Yes.
I like Sheryl Crow.
I've met Sheryl Crow.
I think she's hot.
She didn't mention that when we met, when I got my picture with her.
And
your name did not come up.
Also, happy birthday to Jeb Bush. He is now 66. If you want to send him a gift, he could use some Red Bull. He unsuccessfully ran for president against Donald Trump in that...
Not exactly a dynamo.
No, in that Republican primary there. Happy birthday to Sarah Palin. She turns 55 today.
Is that all?
Wait,
she was
older.
Yeah, I thought she was a little older. I thought she was closer to 60.
She was young when John McCain said, hey, be my vice president if we win. But it obviously didn't really turn out that way.
And finally.
Finally. Oh, it was today in 1960.
Why today doesn't suck.
February 11th. The Payola scandal heats up and it reaches a new level of public prominence. Today in 1960, when President Dwight Eisenhower called it an issue of public morality, and the FCC proposed a new law making involvement in payola a criminal act. And you know what payola is.
Yes.
Whether it's cash or major kitchen appliances or trips or whatever, it's anything that a record company or anything, anybody connected with a band or a group or a song.
Right.
Pays to a radio person, a radio manager, a radio DJ, whatever,
right.
To play that song on the radio.
Pay for play, which they didn't really have that phrase back then. I think that came along much later. But yeah, that's the basic idea. And that is a segment that we call...
Peace and love, peace and love. I'm warning you with peace and love, but I have too much to do.
We actually call it this.
Why today doesn't suck.
All right, coming up on the show... We're going to tell you the story about a cop who went out with a couple of strippers and why cops probably shouldn't be doing that. You'll find out coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Missed one thing during today's Why Today Doesn't Suck, so I got to give it to you now. So this would be bonus suck. Bonus. Bonus.
Suck.
Bonus.
Boner,
suck.
Bonus.
Bonus. Born on this day, inventor Thomas Edison. He was born today in 1847. Thomas Edison, has more than 1,000 patents, including the mimeograph, the gramophone, and, of course, the sock slider. Have you seen that? Have you seen the commercials for that? Where they, I guess if you have a tough time bending over and putting your socks on, they have this thing now, the sock slider, to actually put your,
put, you know,
your, put your socks on for you.
I've got a birthday coming up.
And you know,
I'm just saying.
Thomas Edison, probably our greatest inventor until the MyPillow guy came along. Have you ever tried one of those things? Can you really sleep better with those?
Well, it turned his hair like black. You know, the guy is like, what, 70 years old, and his hair is like shoe polish.
He was a former cocaine addict, that
guy.
Yes,
he was. Yeah.
No wonder why he had a tough time sleeping, and he invented the MyPillow. He's going neck and neck right now with Thomas Edison for being America's greatest inventor.
You got another one over there?
No.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Coming up next, we're going to tell you the latest on this story about the actor, the black gay actor who's on the TV show Empire that said he got jumped by racist, sexist homophobes who were Donald Trump fans. Why, this story, it just doesn't add up. And we're going to tell you a couple of things about this coming up on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So we've talked about this case a couple of times on the show, and now this story has implications that we're going to tell you about. It's incredible. Go back a couple of weeks. There's an actor. He's on the TV show Empire. The show films in Chicago, and that's where he lives. His name is Jussie Smollett. He happens to be black, and he happens to be gay. And a couple of weeks ago, on a very, very cold night, he said that he was beaten by a couple of guys who were yelling homophobic slurs and racist slurs at him, and they were screaming, "Make America Great Again." And he was beaten, and they put a noose around his neck. And again, this was a couple of weeks ago. The day after he reported this story, and this story made news, you had, you know, all of his Hollywood buddies and everybody coming out saying what a horrible country this is, and this is awful that people still think like this when it comes to, you know, black gay guys.
Representative Maxine Waters went so far as to say, "This is," I'm paraphrasing, "This is what you get when you have Donald Trump in the White House," or whoever is in.
She's the California congresswoman. So, and I remember when we talked about this before, I said when I saw this story and I heard those details when I was watching the news sitting on my couch, I scratched my head. I said, I don't believe some of this. I don't believe that in a city like Chicago that there are people walking around with nooses in their hands.
It was like 2:30 in the morning where a couple of weeks ago in Chicago, I think it was, what, 30 below?
Well, it was 30 below the next night, but that night it was still zero and the wind was blowing. It was.
I've been to Chicago and that's pretty damn cold.
It was freezing.
And that's not to dismiss this. And, you know, if anything like this happens, it's in this country, in this day and age, it's horrible. But
yeah.
There's too much about this that didn't add up, including how Chicago PD had to scour surveillance cameras, street corner cameras, and they came up with two sketchy figures.
Which, by the way, those two sketchy figures that they released a picture of, they knew when they released those pictures that those guys had nothing to do with anything. They had to appease the political elite, the political left in Chicago, and just say, look, we're trying. They knew that those two guys, they have looked at every second of his walk from his apartment to the Subway restaurant where he got a sandwich and then him walking home. They've seen every second, because in Chicago, just like every other major city, there are cameras everywhere outside. He wasn't attacked. They haven't found one shred of evidence of him being attacked. You put that on top of the fact that when the cops showed up at his house almost an hour later, he still had the noose around his neck. Now, if that happened to me, I probably would have taken that off my neck right after it happened. But I wouldn't be walking around using it as a fashion statement. The fact is that both he and his manager, who he was talking to on a cell phone at the time of the attack, they both have refused to give their cell phones to the Chicago police, turn them over so the Chicago police could look at them to try to match things up with time. So I'm going to say it. It didn't happen. And here's why every television station is afraid to say that in Chicago. There's a couple of reasons. You know, again, the guy's black and he's gay. So you've got those
two. His father is Jewish, so he...
So he's half black, half Jewish, half gay. Well, full gay. But the fact that he's black and gay, you've got those two politically correct machines up against you. If you say anything against a gay person, derogatory. If you say anything derogatory against a black person, you'll be cast as a homophobe. You'll be cast as a racist. So people are afraid in Chicago to say this didn't happen, even though the TV stations there know now it didn't. They don't want to. They figure once the first media outlet says it didn't happen, they're all gonna follow the leader. Here's the second reason why they're afraid to say it didn't happen. And by the way, it didn't happen. Here's the second reason why. The history between the Chicago Police Department and black people in Chicago, let's just say, isn't very good. And so now if you've got the police coming out saying that this guy made up this story, you know, they're going to be looking at the police funny again. And it makes you wonder why actor Jussie Smollett would have made this up. Some people are theorizing that he had a bad experience on Tinder and he was just so frustrated that he called somebody to say something happened and his story just got out of control. I got beat up by racist, homophobes, Trump lovers. In my opinion, he needs to be arrested, and he needs to be arrested today. When you make up a fake story like that and you go to the police and say that I was beaten up by guys who were screaming homophobic, racist, pro-Donald Trump things at me, you're starting the trouble if it didn't happen. This guy is starting trouble. He's starting trouble. And like you said, Brewster, right after this happened, Congresswoman Maxine Waters from California said, hey, this is Donald Trump's America. And I remember that when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I said, really? It's 0 degrees out. The wind is howling. It's 2 a.m. And there are racist, homophobe, Donald Trump supporters walking around the streets of Chicago, one of the most liberal cities in America, with a noose? Really? It didn't happen. And now we want to know what happened, what led him to tell police that happened. Because again, police have looked at every minute of his night that night in the time frame, and they don't see anything. I mean, there's nothing.
But this since this kindling wood went to social media and just exploded, though, because there are so many people, once you add the Donald Trump angle, as Maxine Waters did, at least in not so many words, in the court of public opinion, this happened. Something happened. I'm sure in some people's minds, the Chicago PD is covering this up.
Of course, some people will think that way because of the history of the Chicago police and the community.
Well, and the history of just police for some people. So it's a ridiculous question, and it's a hypothetical, and I don't really want an answer for it, but where does social media go to get its good name back?
Of course.
And the answer to that is Jesse Smollett has to, at the very least, explain this away, explain what happened. I don't know about people are asking for he should be charged with something. You're calling
he needs
to be
charged with filing a false police report and getting the country all crazy.
Something. But, you know, even if that happens, there are some that's not going to make a difference. They're in their minds. They think something happened. And they got to him if he fesses up and says that nothing happened. This is I don't even know if I should mention this. There's one person on social media who made the connection and said, "Are these the two that attacked you?" and posted the picture from the governor of Virginia.
That's,
should we laugh at that? I guess so.
That's a funny
you're
joke.
Laughing at it. So.
Funny joke. It just didn't happen to this guy, Jesse Smollett. It just didn't happen. All right, coming up on the show, the richest man in the world is going through a divorce. The guy that founded Amazon, Jeffrey Bezos. Now he's accusing the guy who runs the National Enquirer, by the way, his name is Pecker. He's accusing a guy named Pecker of messing around with a picture of Jeffrey Bezos's, well, that's all coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, at least he's the richest American, he's worth about $131 billion.
Does he have a glass eye or something? He's got something wrong with one of his eyes. Like one of them is open fully, and that's the one that I don't know if he had an accident or, why am I asking you? I'll just Google it.
Well, you're talking about his left
eye.
Does
Jeff Bezos have a glass eye?
Well, you're talking about his left eye, and I got to be honest with you. If I was as rich as him, one of my eyes would be stuck open, wide open like that, too, because I couldn't stop looking at my bank account.
See, that's why I have Google. I don't need to ask you anything, because I get answers like that. Does Jeff Bezos have a glass eye?
But he's the CEO of Amazon, and he owns a lot of other things, and he's loaded, and he's going through a divorce. And he did not have a prenup, no prenuptial agreement. So it looks like his soon-to-be ex-wife is going to get half of $131.5 billion. Not too shabby. Although, I wouldn't worry too much about him because he'll probably be able to make that money back over the next few months or couple of years at the most. But anyways, he's in the news not only for that, but because of what's going on with him and a picture he took of his junk that he sent to his new girlfriend. By the way, the woman who he's seeing now, she was a newscaster in Los Angeles. And she's also a helicopter pilot. She flies helicopters. And so that's who Jeff Bezos is seeing. But he's in the news now because supposedly while he was texting with her going back a couple of months now, he did something that's unthinkable. for a guy who's as smart as he is. He took a picture of his junk and he texted it to her. And so her brother supposedly is a pro-Trump guy, and Trump and Bezos don't really get along.
Who does he think he is? Anthony Weiner?
But
Weiner,
Jeff
Weiner,
Bezos' Weiner. His girlfriend, her brother is the one who's being accused of getting that photo and then sending it to the guy who owns the National Enquirer. By the way, his name is David Pecker.
No, really? What's his real name?
David Pecker.
Who does he think he is? Anthony Weiner?
He owns the parent company who owns the National Enquirer. And now Jeff Bezos is saying that because this guy, David Pecker, is friendly with Donald Trump, that David Pecker is blackmailing him, saying that he's going to show that picture in the National Enquirer, and we don't know what the unless is, unless Bezos. I mean, I can't believe. I mean, David Pecker is loaded as well. So I don't know if I believe that the guy who's in charge of the National Enquirer, and the last thing the National Enquirer wants to do is get sued by anybody. They know.
Yeah, that fine bastion of accuracy and
you can say what you
fair
want
reporting.
You can say what you want about them, but they don't want to get sued.
Is there some way, seriously, though, that we can get Anthony Weiner involved in this so it can be, you guess.
He's still in prison, isn't he?
Is he?
Former New York congressman, and he's in prison for taking pictures of his namesake
right. And
sending them to younger women out there.
What was the name he went by?
Carlos Danger.
Carlos Danger. Carlos Danger. That's not what I wanted.
That was his Twitter handle.
I mean, just saying Carlos Danger should solicit this.
But I don't know what to believe here. You've got the richest guy in America, Jeff Bezos, saying that another extremely rich guy, David Pecker, who owns the National Enquirer, and he owns the parent company that owns the National Enquirer, that he is now shaking him down. He is being blackmailed by Pecker over a picture that he took of his, and sent to his girlfriend. What a mess. But again, I brought this up once. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm going to ask this question. Maybe, Brewster, you could help me with this.
Do you have to?
How could someone as smart as Jeff Bezos get caught up in something like this? How could someone as smart as Jeffrey Bezos be so stupid as to take a picture of his junk? And I have said this and then send it to his girlfriend. What? This is, if you're a guy listening right now, let me please explain something to you. Women do not feel the same way about naked pictures of men's privates as men do about naked pictures of women's privates. Okay? That's the whole Mars-Venus thing where we're one on one planet, the other on the other planet. I can go out on a limb saying that you taking a picture of your junk and sending it to a woman is not going to help you in any way, shape, or form. And I'm talking about the picture as well. But the fact of the matter is that how does Jeff Bezos do something so stupid?
Well, because no amount of money can buy you common sense or can make you. He probably suffers from a sense of being fearless. In other words, it can't happen to me.
All right.
I'll never get caught.
Yeah, he owns Amazon. Like why can't I take a picture of my junk?
Right. So it's not a matter of. It's not a matter of, well, he's a multi billionaire. That doesn't make him stupid, but it doesn't make him have common sense.
What would make a
or
guy
fear?
What would make a guy think a picture of his junk is going to make a girl go gah, 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 when she sees it?
Made you do it.
So the battle between David Pecker, owner of the National Enquirer, and Jeff Bezos, who took a picture of his and sent it to his girlfriend. It's now Bezos is saying that this guy is blackmailing me, and I don't know. Would it Like, they're going to put that in the Enquirer? Has there ever been a picture of a famous, of a rich guy's junk in the National Enquirer?
No, but as I've told Mrs. Brewster on many occasions, and those of you who are, excuse me, who are Amazon Prime members, or if you have something delivered via Amazon, they have the most, maybe we should put that on the Bayou Facebook page, instant gratification, as it were. The Amazon Prime logo, it has a smile, which has just like only one corner in its mouth, and it looks suspiciously like a it looks frankly like Carlos Danger. Knock it off.
Some people that have seen the pictures,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You don't use Amazon Prime. I'm gonna.
I bought things on Amazon
I'm gonna send you the logo, and then we'll put it up on the Bayou Facebook page and let the populace decide what it looks like.
Some people are saying because Jeff,
I'm gonna do it right now.
Jeff Bezos is bald, completely bald. He shaves his head.
Right.
That if you cover up his eyes and his nose, that could be the picture that he actually sent.
Well, that one,
they're saying it looks just like it.
The one eye is kind of covered already, which takes me back to. The question I put in Google, does Jeff Bezos have a glass eye? Someone says it's the weight of his net wealth bringing it down. See, that's kind of where you went.
Well, there you go.
Some say he might have a condition known as, they say he actually, what he has is Horner's syndrome. This gets better and better. And he might need Mueller's resection, a simple 30-minute procedure. Where they? Oh God, this is just. And then the third response here is Matt Gay, yo. And he may have lazy eye, also known as amblyopia.
Yeah, I do have the lazy eye.
Have you ever heard that? Have that word before? Amblyopia.
Something like that.
Yeah. All right. Look at the time. We got to go.
But I want to know how his girlfriend's brother gets the picture that he texted to her. Did he pick up her cell phone by? Accident?
Well,
how does that happen?
That could be.
So stay tuned for the story of Jeff Bezos, David Pecker, Jeff Bezos' junk, and Jeff Bezos' girlfriend's brother.
And maybe we're hoping, fingers crossed, for an appearance from Carlos Danger.
Got to finish his sentence, that one. All right, coming up next, cows. Are getting their own Tinder-style app for breeding. I'm going to tell you about it. Yeah, they got their own. Isn't that something? Stay tuned. That's
we'll find out.
On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. I was just reading this over the weekend. A drug dealer got arrested in New York City, and they found over 2 ounces of cocaine hidden in his rectum. That gives it. Totally new meaning to the term blowhole. What is something these people are doing? Hey, and I just saw this, how cows are now getting their own Tinder-style application, their Tinder-style app for breeding. You got
what fake news site did you see that on?
This is real. A UK farming startup introduced a Tinder-style app called Tudder. T-U-D-D-E-R.
Yeah, I get it.
Tudder, and it lets farmers find breeding matches by viewing pictures of cattle with details of their age, location, and owner. Look, if you own livestock like this, if you own cattle like this, and you want to send it out to breed, what are you just going to just randomly pick some random cow to do sex with? No, wouldn't you like to see pictures and no background, history, family history? You know, the quality of the cow, the quality of the cow's family, the relatives?
Is there any truth to the rumor that this website, this app may actually merge with farmersonly.com?
Well, Hectare, H-E-C-T-A-R-E, they designed the app. They say, quote, it seeks to unite sheepish farm animals with their soulmates, unquote. Well, they just want the best-looking cow from the best possible family of cows to breed with.
Read that again.
Our app seeks to unite sheepish farm animals.
Oh, sheepish.
Yeah.
All right.
With their soulmates, unquote.
That's mixing metaphors. Sheepish cows.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to involve that. But you can see if you own Bristol. You don't own cows.
I wanted to hear that again.
If you own cows, you wouldn't think this is so. This was so mad.
I think there's I mean, we, Mrs. Brewster and I have scarcely enough space for ourselves, let alone opening up a dairy.
Tutter is a new shape swipe-led matchmaking app helping farm animals. Right now, it's starting in the United Kingdom, across the UK, to find breeding partners in the quest for moo love. I see what they did there. But, hey, if you own an animal, if you own a cow like that, don't you want it to come from the best-looking? Don't you want the best-looking, best, healthiest, best-tasting?
Well, there you go. That's all I really care about, best-tasting farm animals.
How about that? All right. Coming up next on the show, I got to get to this story about this Louisiana supermarket who's taking some heat for something that appeared in one of their advertisements. That's next on Bayou 95.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. And Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac last week just had emergency open heart surgery.
Yes, he did, and that's true. We've been talking this morning about some fake news stories going around. Henry Winkler is not dead. David Cassidy is still dead and has been for a couple of years.
And it's true about Lindsey Buckingham. Yes. Well, this makes me think about what happened with him and Fleetwood Mac last year when he says they kicked him out. They said they didn't kick him out. He just didn't want to tour for the next year, year and a half straight.
Right.
Maybe good thing he didn't, because what if he was on the road? Who knows what would have happened with Lindsey Buckingham? But they say that he had successful surgery. They said one of the things that happens when you have open heart surgery, it affects your vocal cords. And they said that hopefully that'll come back for him, but right now he's not going to be doing any singing for a little while.
As you know, I had open heart surgery.
How were your vocal cords?
Almost good. I have a burgeoning career in radio, and I've got my fingers crossed that after 20 years, I'll finally make something of this vocation or vacation. I don't know that there's anything. I mean, I didn't have anything like that. The only thing I could think would just be the trach tube. And I've told you before, having been at that time a smoker of cigarettes for 30 years, that was the single worst physical moment of my life when they brought me around in the recovery room, cardiac recovery room at Lakeview Regional in Covington, by the way, where they saved my life. But just the feeling of them pulling that tube out and then you're trying to fight it and it's like you can't fight it. I mean, I could see how maybe when they pulled that out, it which doesn't go through your vocal cords, but maybe it just like really scraped his throat or. But I don't know of anything based on that procedure that is a risk for that. Well, but then again, I'm not a doctor.
Well, his wife tweeted a picture of him and her in his hospital bed.
Right.
And saying that the surgery went well. It's going to take him a while to get strong and healthy again, but and then hopefully he gets his singing voice back the way he likes it. But
yes.
We've talked about him before. He's one of the most talented rockers going. I mean, an incredible guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get the credit for nobody ever talks about him as one of the great axe men, which he is.
And they should.
And what a songwriter, too.
Great songwriter, a tremendous producer. Those tremendous harmonies that you hear on Fleetwood Mac, the eponymous album before rumors and then rumors and then Tusk, although Tusk, they say, is a cocaine-fueled nightmare. Some people refer to it as that.
Yeah.
But if you listen to Sarah, the six, almost seven-minute version of Sarah, from, that's my favorite Fleetwood Mac song, from Tusk. It's just, it is a pop rock perfection. That the long version, and produced as he did with just the wall of sound and the tremendous overlaying of the harmonies. But just as a guitar player, what he does, that sound that he gets from an acoustic guitar, he plays with no pick. He just plays with the backs of his fingers.
Yeah, he's something.
He's something else. Yeah,
he really is.
So the Osterlin Show sends best wishes to Lindsey Buckingham.
Absolutely. Louisiana grocery store gets backlash for what they said in one of their advertisements. It wasn't one of our local grocers around here. This came from Max Fresh Market in Alexandria, Virginia. I'm sorry, Alexandria, Louisiana. And in the ad, they got fresh produce in the ad. I'm looking at it right now. But it says in the ad, heaven has a wall, a gate, and a strict immigration policy. Hell has open borders. Let that sink in. That was in their ad for Max Fresh Market in Alexandria, Louisiana.
And I see whole chicken fryers are $2.99 a pound.
Well, many people express their distaste over that advertisement.
What's the content? I mean, do you have it, or do you have the ad, or you just have the story telling about the ad? Because I'd love to see the context. Is it like in one of those, you see like the giant splash in yellow, and it has that, or sale, but it has...
No,
well,
I don't
have to look that up.
Yeah.
Why do I keep asking you things I could Google?
Yeah, you got it right there. I'm searching for the ad right now. I just have the story, but like, would they put that right over a head of lettuce? Oh, no, there it is. I got it right in front of me now. It's an ad, and it's got coupons on it for different things, but at the top of the ad, right underneath the logo, right next to the logo of the store, Max Fresh Market, it says, heaven has a wall, a gate, and a strict immigration policy. Hell has open borders. Let that sink in. And then right underneath it, it says $1.37 for a pound of, what was that, pork loin?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, fresh ground beef, $1.99 a pound.
You can't beat that. Now, would that be 80-20 or 90-10?
I can't see.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that something, though? And so well, some of their customers and the people that saw that ad weren't happy about it.
Well, yeah, you know what my answer is? Don't shop at Max Fresh Market, then. Max Fresh Market, come on, you know where this is going. They have the right to put anything in their ad that they want. You know, here's the way I look at that.
On Facebook, somebody wrote, how about we build a wall around your store?
And that's fine. Yeah, here's how I look at that. Max Fresh Market, never been there. Haven't spent a whole lot of time in Alexandria, just passing through on the way to Shreveport, evacuating for Katrina. But I look at this. Max Fresh Market sells grocery items, poultry, beef, pork, canned goods, fresh vegetables, and their own particular slant or commentary on what's going on in the world. And if you don't like that product, then don't go to Max Fresh Market.
The owner...
Do you agree? Don't you agree?
Yeah.
They have the right to put whatever they want.
Of course they do. Brewster, the owner of Max Fresh Market, his name is Reggie McDaniel. So that's where the Mac must come from.
There's the Mac, sure.
He said, quote, it was a perfect time for the ad because of the current talk about the border wall. And then he continued, quote, the only thing I was shocked about was that it's racist. I have never in my life been accused of being a racist. I'm 70 years old, and I haven't evolved into one. And that's the other thing. You know, the people that aren't for the border wall, and they just throw out the racist word if you're for the border wall. How is it being racist if you want to protect our country from illegal immigrants? They are illegal. They're not The wall in the border security is not protecting our country from legal immigrants. It's protecting our country from illegal immigrants, people who, if they're here, they are here illegally. They are breaking the law. How is that racist? You know, people throw around that word all the time. Oh, you're for a border wall? You must be racist. No, I'm for a border wall. I want to secure our borders. I know some bad people come over those borders.
Well, I mean, I'm one who splits hairs, and I still have to keep from telling people when they say racist, they often don't mean racist, they mean bigoted. But that's neither here nor there.
I don't even think it's bigoted if you want a wall. You want better security for this country.
Well, but people use racist when that's not the term they mean. They mean they mean bigoted. But more power to Mac or I mean, this is just another version of a business owner choosing to. I mean, I'm sure he's not trying to keep away people who don't agree with that. Look, they have another location in Pineville.
He didn't,
or as we say in Kentucky, Pineville.
He didn't think of that. That meme has been going around on social media for a long time.
Right.
And again, he put it right in his flyer, right in his ad there. And I'm sure where he's located in Louisiana, I'm sure there will be people that support what that says, and that'll go out and they'll specifically look to go buy their groceries at Max Fresh Market.
Good for him.
Well,
I don't even understand the story. Grocery store faces backlash.
Yeah, some people weren't happy.
Backlashes, don't go there if you don't like what's in his ad.
Well, there you go. I'm with you.
I like things simple.
Yeah, the guy owns the store. He can put whatever he wants to in it.
The more that I work with you, the more simple I'm becoming, which is troublesome.
Just because you want a border wall does not make you racist. It does not make you racist.
Or bigoted.
No, you want better security for the country? That's
right. But the length of time that you spent explaining that about the border wall, how it does, you already lost the people that you need to try to convince because they, I just don't have time for all that.
Yeah. Coming up on the show, I got to get to this story about why if a cop should not be hanging out with multiple strippers at the same time. That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Look, I don't want to say that cops shouldn't date strippers if they don't want to.
Okay.
But if they're hanging out, if a cop is hanging out with a couple of strippers, they just got to be careful. Two strippers charged with stealing police officer's pistol after night out. This happened, it was a Boston cop, but it happened down in neighboring Rhode Island. Two strippers in Rhode Island were arrested last weekend after they stole a gun from a Boston police officer. The cop admitted to his bosses, because he had to call them up and say, my gun's gone. Well, what happened to your gun? Well, I was hanging out with these two strippers, and we were in the hotel. Everything was great. Then one of them said she needed to go down to my car to get something she left in her bag. That's when she opened my glove compartment. That's where my gun was, and she took it, and then she left. And she never came back to the room. And anyways, a 22-year-old and a 25-year-old stripper, two of them were both arrested. And Pawtucket, Rhode Island police arrested those two for stealing the semi-automatic pistol out of the Boston police officer's glove box.
Nice collar.
Be careful out there. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride, and that's brought to you by Acadian Windows, the official window company of the Houdat Nation. On Bayou 95.7. Oh. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin. The commercial free ride is brought to you by Acadian Windows, the official window company of the Houdat Nation. On this show a few times, we have mentioned the two anti-Semites who are now members of the United States Congress. They happen to both be Muslim women. And one of them is from Michigan. The other one is from Minnesota. And the reason I said that they're anti-Semites is they both there are no fans of Israel, and they wish Israel wasn't where it is. And so one of them, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, she's from the state of Minnesota. She made headlines again over the weekend. She sparked backlash last night from members of both parties, including former first daughter Chelsea Clinton, wasn't happy with her. After she accused a prominent lobbying group of paying members of Congress to support Israel. Remember, she is a sitting congresswoman in the United States, and she's an anti-Semite. She and her and the one from Michigan, too. They're both freshmen, Muslim congresswomen, and they are, they, I guess, you know, if you got Palestine in your family background, and I guess you have an issue with Israel because you've been fighting over that small piece of land for so long.
Tell them to stay the hell out of Palestine.
But this particular congresswoman, Ilhan Omar, the Democrat from Minnesota, she became the first Somali American woman elected to Congress in November. She responded to a Twitter post by a journalist named Glenn Greenwald, criticizing House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who's a Republican from California, for threatening to take action against Omar and another freshman lawmaker, the one from Michigan, Rashida Tlaib,
right,
over anti-Semitic remarks.
And she's the one who famously said this.
People love you. And you win. Woo. And when your son looks at you and says, Mama, look, you won, bullies don't win. And I said, baby, they don't. Because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
That's one of the two history-making freshman congresswomen, both Muslim, here in America. And so,
because everything's fine in Michigan, everything Perrier flows and from all the taps, and no potholes, no crime.
Well, the one from Minnesota here is the one that's making headlines, and the one that several Democrats said, "Wait a minute, what are you doing?" Again, this guy Glenn Greenwald tweeted how basically what she said was. Her tweet was, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. And she put up three music notes. And she was talking about, well, she was insinuating that members of Congress are being paid money to support Israel. That's what she's saying. So this is some time that we're living in our country's history. You know, people talk about diversity and, you know, we need more diversity and it's all great. But we have two, literally, this isn't, I'm not making this up. We have two anti-Semites who are in the United States Congress, and one of them is a congresswoman from Minnesota here, and the other is a congresswoman from Michigan.
And they both happen to be on that party of tolerance that we hear so much
about. Yeah, yeah. What's the story there? And thank you for listening to our show. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.